Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have gathered here this evening to celebrate a very important feast. In fact, I would have to venture a guess that the majority of you, this is affecting, because the Epiphany is Christ's coming for the Gentile. Christmas, the celebration of Christ's birth, was really for the Jew, those of the Old Covenant that were promised by God that he would send a Messiah. Look at how the angels proclaimed his birth to the Jewish shepherds on the hillsides. This now is a testimony of the fact that God has taken flesh, has been born not just for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. God had already planned from of old, before creation, that he would send his Son, and that that Son would die not just for the old covenant that he would set up with Abraham, but for all people. God left that covenant intact for a time. He met Abram and he said, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. The Savior will come. And so he carried that line. The God of Abraham was the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of Joseph, and so on, Judah all the way down. God kept that line intact. And once his Son had been born, the news was told that this was for everyone, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile also. So in many respects, the Epiphany, the reason we are gathered here tonight to celebrate, is because Jesus has come not just for his Old Testament people, but for all of us too. We're not worthy of it. Our forefathers, way back when, didn't care about God's word, and yet he sent him as a revelation, as a manifestation. The Epiphany is the appearance. The wise men see the star up in the heavens. God has set that star up in the heavens to declare where his Son is to be born. Now, whether that star has always been there and just happened to shine brightly that night, or whether this is a supernatural star, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because God hung each and every star in the sky for his purpose to declare his majesty. And that star did exactly that. These Gentiles who were not a part of the covenant saw the star and followed it, that they might worship the king who was to be born. While so many kings thought they were gods, this is God as king coming to us to be born. There are some misconceptions that we try to clear up every year. And the first and most important, I think, is that the wise men are not at the stable. The Bible is very clear. They entered the house in which the boy Jesus was with his mother. They're not at the stable. The stable was for the Jews. It was for them of the old covenant to come and worship him. This boy Jesus is probably about 1 year old once the Magi come. There are so many prophecies that are fulfilled in this. Give consideration to our Old Testament lesson. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Give consideration to Psalm 72 from our intro it. Behold, the Lord, the ruler, has come, and the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Saba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations
shall serve him. God fulfills his prophecies, for he knows all things. And at times he reveals those prophecies to his people, that they might be emboldened to believe in him, just as I hope you are tonight. The wise men see the star, and they follow it, because wise men seek the Lord, and they follow him. They go to where the king should be born, in Jerusalem. They go to Herod's house, who is sitting on that throne as king. And they come and they say, "We have seen the star and we have come to worship the king." And Herod, of course, freaks out. If you were here on Sunday, you heard just how terrible Herod was. A man who was willing to kill his own son and all the baby boys in Bethlehem just to make sure that he alone would be king, hears that there is a king who is born. And so he becomes afraid. And so he lies to the wise men and he says, "Tell me more about this. I too want to know of this king." And so they come and they say, "We have seen his star and we have come to worship." And so they gather the scribes, they gather the chief priests, and they say, "Where is the king to be born?" And once again, an Old Testament prophecy is fulfilled. For this time, Micah had written, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." The good shepherd, born in a stable in Bethlehem, born to be our Savior. He is the shepherd who would rule over all kings, all people. Micah prophesied this because the Lord had given it to him. And in Christ, we see that prophecy fulfilled. And so they read this, and the wise men set out on their journey to worship the newborn king. And they go. And Herod tells them, "When you find him, let me know so that I too can come and worship him." But Herod is a deceiver and a wicked man. And so they go. They go to find this king. They bring gifts not fit for a baby, but fit for a king. They bring gold. They bring frankincense and myrrh. Just as had been prophesied, that these would bring presents, that they would bring gold and incense. These men have come to do just that. And when they enter the house and they see this boy seated on his mother's lap, what do you do when you find the king, even if he's a toddler or still yet young? You fall down and you worship him. They fell to their faces in the presence of the King of Kings. They acknowledged that they were wicked, that they were evil, because they were not a part of God's covenant. And when you give consideration to all the sins that build up in us day after day, can we really approach him any differently? Or do we not also fall down in his presence? There will come a day when our sin is completely gone from us. But until that day, when we approach a most holy, a most righteous God, it makes sense for us to approach him and fall down on our knees. And so they present him with gifts. Gold and incense. Incense would be, of course, burned, as all people would have known at that time, and that prayers would ascend upon it. That as incense, the smoke of it rises up to heaven, our prayers rise before God. Earlier in December, I spent a lot of a sermon talking about incense and its use of the Old Testament, use of the New Testament, use still in heaven, and use throughout all of church history. So I'm not going to belabor that point today, but you can see that it is a gift given to the King of Kings. These men come, and they fall down before him, and they worship him, and they present him with their very best, acknowledging that they don't deserve to receive him. And thanks be to God, an angel of the Lord comes to them and tells them, "Do not go back to Herod, for he will surely send death." And so they go by another way. And as we heard on Sunday, God would also send an angel to Joseph in the middle of the night and tell him to take his family and go so that his son might be protected, that they would they would have a flight, as in not a plane, of course, but they would fly into Egypt. They would run there to escape the death that Herod was bringing. And the Bible also very clearly tells us that he kills all the boys two and under based on the time that he got from the wise men, which again shows us that this boy is not a newborn babe. God protects his son, the King of Kings, whether he is only 1 year old or 33 years old, is still infinite. He is without beginning. He is without end. But according to God's holy time, he took on our flesh to be with us. That boy that received such wonderful and magnificent gifts went to the cross for those wise men, went to the cross for the Jews, went to the cross for us Gentiles, so that our sins may be forgiven. And while we might try to lay our very best at his feet, whether that's finances, whether that's our time or our talents, God still gives us the best gifts. He's given us his son, and his son has given us his body and blood for us to get the forgiveness of sins. And so this night, this Epiphany night, this Christmas for the rest of us as Gentiles, we rejoice and we celebrate without end. The church sings, O morning star, how fair and bright, you shine with God's own truth and light, aglow with grace and mercy. Of Jacob's race, King David's son, our Lord and Master, you have won, our hearts to serve you only. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, all victorious, rich in blessing, rule and might o'er all possessing. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.